Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to the Living in Bosnia and Herzegovina podcast.
It's the Living in Bosnia and Herzegovina podcast, and today is a little bit better than yesterday, because yesterday I was supposed to be speaking to this gentleman, and then, you know, living in a Bosnian village, for those that come from the Western Balkans, nema stroja, stromausfall, power cut, whichever language you want to use, and amazingly frustrating. So I have my fingers crossed today, because we've had power back all day. I just hope I don't jinx it. I'm not very good with languages. I suppose I'm typically British, but somebody is in the Netherlands today, so I'm gonna really try it now. Hoe gaat het met jou?
Fantastisch, dankjewel. Ik spreek fantastisch Nederlands. Dankjewel, David.
Well, that's about the limit of everything that I can say in Dutch. We're going to be talking about tourism today with my guest, who is Hubert Neymeyer, who's in Enschede. I think I might have pronounced that marginally right. But you are right across on the eastern border of the Netherlands, aren't you? Right bang up next to Germany, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I always say we are between Amsterdam and Berlin. We are in Europe, right? So some say you're at the border of the Netherlands, but I always say more in the center of Europe. But indeed.
Now, I'm going to find out a little bit about Hubert in his own words in just a second, but in total transparency, I've talked to Hubert before. He's got a superb company and an online presence, which I am sort of like a newbie helping out in a little way, but we'll find out about that. Hubert, there's no finer person to tell us about you than you. So my first two-part question to you is, what are you, who are you, And what is this fantastic online company that you've got?
Thank you. And thank you for the time in the States to keep a short introduction about myself and our company. My name is Hubert Nijmeijer, living in Enschede. Started the company High Guide in 2014. Why I started this company? A few reasons. One, we like to give everyone an opportunity to book a private guide, so make it more affordable and accessible. And secondly, we like to give everyone an opportunity to get in touch with it through local life, so give them a more authentic experience. Started first in the Netherlands. We are also based in the Netherlands, but quickly expanded, and now we are active in 50 countries, and we have a bit more than 3,000 locals at our platform. Travelers can book a private tour with a local. So when you are heading to Banja Luka, you can book David. But if you're heading to Lisbon, you can book another guide. And the guide will show you the city through their eyes. So it can be a hidden gem or a special neighborhood, which is less popular, but still amazing to visit. And those stories are nice to tell, but also to know for the tourists, right? So we like to help also a lot of cities with coping too much tourism. Of course, now it's suddenly gone, of course, with COVID, but it will come back. But if you look to a few cities which are coping with too much tourism, they are all going to the center of the city, and it will be too dense. It's not good for the city. It's not good for the locals who are living there. It's also not good for the tourists. So we like to help them to get the best experience, an authentic experience, and explore the city like locals do. And during COVID, we also thought about something new. Everybody could use to video calling or doing podcasts from a distance. And we created Video Call a Local, and it gives customers, travelers, the chance to schedule a call with a local of the destination they are going to. With this service, we are also entering the inspiration phase. And everybody needs to have inspiration, and who knows best, right? Locals. So they can call a local via a video chat and ask questions like, what should I do? What should I see? Which restaurants should I book? I like to run 5 miles in the morning. Which park should I do my morning run? These kind of questions. And it's easy for locals to share, and also for the locals to say, you know, when you're here, I can also guide you around. So it will be already created some connection. And that's what we are into, right? It's not only about the location where people are going to, but it's also about the culture and sharing interests, sharing knowledge, and making a nice conversation. You know, it's good for all the world to understand this concept and doing too. And hopefully tourism will change after COVID, you know, that people are more going more in depth in the city, stay longer, and try to understand how people live there, what's their culture, where's their religion, how's the political side, these kind of things. So we hope that we can help a lot of people and change their mind when they are traveling.
How difficult has it been to find these people, to get your part of the travel and tourism story out? Because I've been watching a few webinars recently where everybody seems still, and I don't know why, they're still stuck on the strategic level of everything. And they singularly fail to think about, I don't know, to put it in a military way, the tactical side of it, the people who are actually going to deliver the experience for travellers. It's all, you know, about online marketing and spending lots of money. How difficult has it been for you to find these guys and girls truly on the front line, as it were, that the people that are actually going to advise us on, you know, those hidden gems that mainline tourist guides, even they don't know too much about?
We have a marketplace. So on one side you have the guides, and the other side you have the travelers, so they need to find each other. Regarding the guides, locals, we didn't have spent that much money marketing on it in the first beginning. Yes, we need to do, you know, because you're not there is no name, there's no brand, so you need to invest in that. But right now we see that we get a lot of traction. A lot of guides are without any job right now. So they are looking for new channels to get business. And luckily, we are one of them they find and they register with us. I think we a lot of guys are on the same page with us. So they look into the vision of our company, our values. And that's I think, the most important one. You need to be connected with the company you are dealing with. It's also, of course, for the travelers, but especially for the guides. And I think it's important as a company, if you look at HII Guide, it's important to understand that we are not important as HII Guide. It's the guides are important. They are doing the job and they are taking care of the customers. So it's very important to keep connected, but also try to understand why they do it, but also try to understand who's the personality, you know, and it's a human business, you know, it's a personal business. And I think people will understand it better in the future. But some companies are in for the numbers and that's difficult. You know, if you aren't in the numbers, you forget about humanity. And I think it's about humans, it's human interaction. And I think it's far more important to have a nice review and to have great stories than a lot of big financial good numbers, you know. It's about bringing people together. That's the most important thing.
You mentioned that word traveler, which I actually agree with, I have to say. I think the day of the tourist has gone, that, you know, the tourist is the guy or girl, the lady or gentleman, the family that's on a 52-seater coach that just races around a country doing, I don't know, an hour snapshot of just major tourist attractions. And as you said earlier about, you know, some places such as Venice, I think, is a great example. What has COVID done for Venice? Yes, it's decimated its tourism, but hey, the canals are clean again. They've got fish in again, and the Venetian people have got their life back. And I think that the Venetians still want to have people coming to look at their city, but they don't want it to be how do you say it? Oversaturated. At the moment, with the experience of COVID, which none of us thought was going to happen, how do you think traveling will adapt, and what will it look like as and when we can finally move around again?
Yeah. So in the beginning, when in the first month, you know, COVID hit in, everybody thought, okay, clean sheet, you know, everything coming back probably in September, and we're going to change. Recently, I saw a documentary. It was about Venice, and there was some guy was also talking about it. He thought, okay, we're going to change things in Venice. You know, we make a wall around it. So people coming in, they need to pay, or you need to stay at least for a few nights. But he mentioned, you know, a lot of people in the industry don't get any earnings right now. So it's really a hard time for those. And he was expecting, and that the tourism will be back to Venice in the same way. I think Venice is gone, you know, it's a kind of Disneyland. It's beautiful, and I think it's gone because I'm not sure locals did go outside of the city because it was too much tourism. They don't come back, right? So I think it's Venice is gone, you know, but some cities like Barcelona and Amsterdam, they can figure out right now, you know, how to cope with it. And to make it a livable place, you know, because sustainability is not only about traveling CO2-free kind of way, you know, where electric cars and that kind of stuff, but it's also about being there still after 100, 200 years, you know, that's the word sustainability. And if there are no locals, you know, then you will be an attraction park like Disneyland, and that can be shut down or can be open when people say it's now time to open, now time to close. And that's what no city likes to have, right? But if you look at our situation, we offer private guides, so small groups. At least we don't combine any groups, so it's a small group of friends or family of a couple. We will be in a good position when traveling is coming back. People like to understand the city better, and yeah, a local can share a lot of information about it. And if you have the old-fashioned way, indeed, in a big coach with 50 people, you cannot have a conversation with the tour leader. And probably the tour leader is someone who's doing the whole country or the whole region or So there's something else. And I think people will understand, you know, I like to do, act like a local, and because it's better for myself, but also better for the city. And I think people will understand it better, but it's, I'm not sure if the people are from China are doing the same way we are traveling from Western Europe. I think it needs time to get involved in the whole world. But it starts, I think, in Western Europe and America to travel differently. And it's also something with doing with technology, right? When you don't have any internet when you are traveling, you need to book it at home, everything in front, of course. But now you have a phone. You are connected. So people are traveling differently because it feels like already some like home because you have your phone always there and you can chat with your friends constantly. I think people will get the chance now to do it differently. But it's also about the supply, right? So if you have TUI offering cruise ships, if it's still there, people book it. But if it will be prohibited, I hope so, honestly. But then people cannot book it, so they don't want to travel with 5,000 other people and entering a city like Dubrovnik and screw it for two hours, buying an ice cream and going back on a cruise ship. I think that's not good tourism. But yeah, if there's still companies who are doing it, yeah, then people will book it and will be still there. So it will shift slowly, I think. Slowly to the better way.
It's funny that you mentioned Dubrovnik because that's what I wanted to talk about now. Dubrovnik is an ancient Venetian city, right at the bottom of Croatia. And over the past years, nobody goes to look at Dubrovnik history anymore. They go for the Game of Thrones tour. I believe I can't remember the name in Croatian, but there's a small part of Dubrovnik that has its own traditional name and everything, now been renamed to King's Landing. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. We're around Dubrovnik down there at the bottom of the Dinaric Alps, very close to Bosnia-Herzegovina, very close to Montenegro, tremendous culture, food and wine experiences to die for. And as you say, people just pour off the boat, out of the coach, and they want to see all these places where their favourite film stars and where they got off on Game of Thrones, which I think is like factory tourism. Whereas I'm hoping, and I'd like to get your take on this, when you look at High Guide at the moment, most guides have got a tip about the locals. And for me, I wanted to talk about the famous Banja Luka Ćevap. Don't go to a restaurant, go to this small hole in the wall that's been there for generations and have it. I suppose when you go to London, it's like having a British breakfast. Highly unhealthy, but it's got to be done because it's cultural, right? Where do you think High Guide and your own personal feelings goes to a phrase that grew out of Italian cuisine maybe 20, 25 years ago? The slow food movement is now the slow travel movement. Do you find that there's a synergy between your values and your initiative and the way of traveling in a much slower pace, definitely living with locals and eating their food? Is that joined up as far as you're concerned?
Yeah. When we started the company, I created a kind of PowerPoint. It was quite badly, I understand, if I look back right now, but I put some writings over there, you know, and one of them was getting a friend somewhere else, but you don't have a friend, so it will be a paid friend, a local guide, you know. When you have a friend, and you can imagine that, you know, you're from England, that you have friends around the world. When you go somewhere, when you have a friend, it don't matter how what's the situation at the city. You know, the city is already nice because you have a friend over there, and your friend will point you the way, you know, which are the best restaurants, what to see, what to do. And you always stay longer with your friend. And it's we are not similar, of course, you know, local guides and friends are differently, but we like to be on that part, you know, if that you have a kind of friend, so that you will stay longer in the city because you understand the city better. You know, you find your way easier, and feeling at home somewhere else, that's definitely possible, right? So I think we can be there for customers to be longer in the city and enjoy it more like being home somewhere else. And, you know, people, you need to stay somewhere, of course, an accommodation and a nice spot, nice neighborhood. But people do matter always, you know. What do you remember when you have, when you travel to, for me, I was to Cape Town and had a conversation over there with a guy, you know. It was a really funny conversation. I still remember the conversation, and it was about stupid things, but that's the things which you are remembering. Of course, the Table Mountain was beautiful, but you remember the conversation. And when you have someone who is there, who can help you out and give you a tour and give you great advice what to do and what to see, people will stay longer in the city. And the city can be less attractive, like not a Dubrovnik, not a Paris, or you name it. Cities are attractive because you know people there. So yeah, definitely. I think we can do something there.
There's a lot of people that listen to this podcast who are from Bosnia and Herzegovina. they check my blog and they check my past, my podcast out, because I can't believe about how I am so passionate about the country. And a lot of people that come here, friends, relatives, and strangers who have just hooked on and come along, have said to me when I say, well, what, you know, before you came to see me today, you must have bumped into some locals. How was it? And they went, well, the first thing that comes out of a local's mouth in Bosnia and Herzegovina is, why have you come here? There's a singular lack of appreciation, I think, of people in this country of the beauty they've got. There's 8 microclimates here. There's, you know, it's where East meets West. It's got history so deep. In fact, if you go to Sarajevo, there's a line in the ground between the Holy Roman Empire at one point and Ottomans. Yes, they've got some bad raps in their history. Allegedly, they started the First World War. I think that's totally wrong, but that's that. What advice have you got as somebody that's involved with traveling and trying to inspire people to explore this world more, to say to people, for example, here in Bosnia and Herzegovina, I believe it's the same in Romania and Moldova and other places, who think, why should anybody want to come here? I mean, why? What advice would you give to people from, let's say, in my case, our case here today in Bosnia, why should they get excited about their own country?
You know, people are living at a particular spot, you know. There are a few reasons. There's love, it's employment, and maybe they are born and raised there, you know, and they stick there. So there are a few reasons, but they don't laugh because there are friends around them, family, so that's very important, of course. But, you know, you have different kind of tourism. Some like to see the highlights only for the photos, coming back at home, looking at the photos, what they have done. Some are into Instagram, you know, it's really important to have Instagrammable photos. Some are into food, and some are into culture, you know. And I think it's good to know that you are living in a spot that you don't need an Eiffel Tower or a Big Ben, you know. It's important how your culture it can be unique. Then it's really important to have, you know, because it's unique. Food culture and the stuff what you are eating at the country you're living or cities, it's so important to have, you know. People are always interested in different kind of foods, what is not used to them when they are coming home. So appreciate where you are living. It's very important, firstly, I think, to understand why tourism is coming. You know, if you don't appreciate where you're living, it's really hard to imagine that tourism is coming. You know, I live in Enschede. It's a small town, less than 200,000 citizens, so smaller than Banja Luka. But it's not a big tourist city, but people are coming in. I when I walk through to the city, I hear Spanish or Chinese, English, you name it. German, of course, we're close to the German border, but I see the attractive spots in the city, you know. There's a great terrace where you can sit and have a pint. There are great restaurants. The culture is good. But a lot of people here don't understand why tourism are coming. But if you don't understand why tourism are going, yeah, you need to explore by yourself firstly, I think. So it's really important to go in depth in your own city and culture to understand how good it is and how and why you are living there. And then you can also express it to others. And yeah, what you mentioned, you know, you're a big promoter of Bosnia. That's you know, because you have experienced a lot, you have a reason to stay there. So and now you can shout it out and create podcasts and blogs and getting people into it. Yeah, that's amazing.
Finally, how do you see traveling? It's going to change. I mean, we can't say, will it change? Yes, it's going to change. How do you see the world for the traveller in, let's say, 5 years? I mean, we can't say next year because, you know, it's up and down like the late Stefan Grappelli's elbow at the moment. We don't know where we are from one day to the next with lockdowns and all the other stuff that's going on. But, Hubert, where do you think we will find ourselves, let's say, in 5 years? I think that's a good time frame for all this to have blown over.
Yeah. May I look a little bit further? 10 years, is that okay?
Yeah. What's Hubert's vision? How do you think the future is going to look, traveler wise?
Yeah. So I think personal life will change. You know, personal and work balance. You know, we already mentioned it. I've already experienced it with more working at home instead of coming to the office. So private and work will be emerging. So time off will be different kind of experience, you know. In the past, when we all work in the factory, long time ago, you were working on a clock, on a minute. Then you are always want to go to a beach, you know, 10 days at a beach doing nothing. People have different kind of work right now, you know, and it will change the coming 10 years. It will be more in a balanced way. So when they are going for a holiday, a trip, or a travel plan, they want to understand the culture more. They want to get more knowledge and improve themselves better. So what I think, what my vision is, I think people will less going to beaches and doing nothing, you know, only eating and drinking and stay in the secluded stuff, but going more to interesting countries, cities, villages, to understand themselves better, but also the world better. And also getting, I think, the idea of why traveling is so important. You know, you worked in the military. Traveling is also about talking with each other, right? Getting in contact with each other, understand what each other's perspective is. When people are not traveling, you don't see each other, you know? So conflicts can occur more often. So I think people will understand it better in the coming years, what kind of impact traveling is. It is not only laying on a beach and doing nothing. It's about getting in touch with each other, getting in touch with different kind of people, cultures, and you know, also you don't need to share the same interest, but learning constantly. I think that will be the modus, what will be very important for travelers in the future.
And how do you see Hi-Hi Guide developing to that vision of what you think it will be in all these years to come?
Yeah, so we connect people, so locals with travelers, and I think we can connect people better if we know more information about our locals and more information about our travelers, so we connect better. But maybe we can also do something, you know, that people say, okay, I have a strong opinion about this. I like to have a conversation with someone in this space who have a different kind of opinion. And I like to learn, you know, why are they thinking like this? It's not on our roadmap, but yeah, I think that's quite interesting, you know. And the better thing is, of course, to make the world a better place to live. Because we don't hate each other, you know. A Republican don't hate a Democrat, you know. They're humans together. But if they are going to say, you know, this is black, this is white, there's no conversation. You need to have a conversation why someone is thinking like that. There's always a reason. And the reason can be of you know, you can accept it or you cannot accept it, but just discuss it and talk with each other. And I think that's maybe a role we can play. Not for the coming first years, but yeah, maybe in the future. You never know.
I tell you one thing. You've got to come to Bosnia-Herzegovina as soon as we can get travel.
Yeah, definitely.
I've got some things to show you. And I think that you will... I think you'll love it. And I say that because of all my Dutch friends, even those from Brabant. Sorry. all my Dutch friends have just had a blast, had a total blast. And we would seriously like to see you and some of your team members down here. I did say shameless self-promotion. Give us all the places or give us all the information once again about High High Guide. So when people go, what did he say, that they can look in the description below this if they see this in video format, or if they're listening in audio format, that they know exactly where to go. So you're just one click away from High High Guide. So where can we find you? And once again, what do you offer?
Yeah, so High High Guide connects travelers with locals in more than 50 countries around the world. We offer private tours, and you can set up a video call with a local to get all the information you need to have to prepare your city trip. You can find us at www.highhighguide.com. And yeah, you can easily put in the city where you like to go and find your local or your favorite tour and meet up with locals and get an amazing experience.
Hubert, thank you so much for giving me your time. I'm doubly grateful because there we were waiting last night. you must probably had no problems with the electricity, but we were here not quite in the dark, but whatever. So I'm truly appreciated of that. And I'll catch you soon. When we're talking High High Guide business. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was Hubert Niemeyer from Enschede, and I'm about to say tot ziens. And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company.
If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.